Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Hello, and welcome back to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast. I'm David, and in this episode, I continue my RAB travel diary. If you tuned in to the first episode, you'll know that Tamara and I embarked on a journey to the beautiful island of Rab off the coast of Croatia. Today, I'll continue sharing our experiences, taking you along with us through the countryside, over mountains, and onto the Adriatic coast.
You can contact us at anenglishmaninthebalkans@gmail.com.
So, after spending a comfortable night in Bihać at a local motel, we hit the road at the crack of dawn, heading towards the Bosnia-Herzegovina-Croatia border. Tamara, ever the brilliant researcher, had already checked out the live border camera feeds to make sure we'd have a smooth crossing. Lucky for us, there didn't seem to be too much of a queue, even though it was just after 6 a.m. Now, the early morning drive itself was something special. The mist was hanging low over the valleys, giving the whole scene an almost magical quality. I wish I'd had a better camera at that moment because the landscape was breathtaking. One of those rare times when you think, this could win an award. But unfortunately, we pushed on without stopping for that photo. Arriving at the border, there was a bit of a wait, most probably because of a shift change for the border guards.
6:10, day 2. We thought we would be clever by waking up at 5 o'clock and then having a quick coffee and heading to the border, the small border crossing between Bosnia-Herzegovina and Croatia. Tamara is very clever. She knows exactly where to access the border cameras. So we've just driven through, pretty scary actually, lots of mist everywhere. And what are we looking at?
At the border?
Yeah.
We are looking
well, it's
at
Gužva,
the
isn't
Bosnian
it?
Part. It's Gužva, and it's only 6 o'clock in the morning. And when we woke up at 5:30, there was no cars, basically. So yep. Everyone is heading. It's Friday, and I knew it was going to be busy. Because everyone's heading for the last dip in the sea.
So, and the other thing could be, well, we've got a bit of a Gužva, which is like a queue. Maybe it's the 6 o'clock team changeover. That could be, but I don't know. But there are two lanes going into Croatia. One is for cars and one is for buses. There are no buses, but the police are not using the bus lane for cars. But yeah, we had a comfortable night stay. We stayed in a motel on the outskirts of Bihać. And Yeah. We're off, well, soon, into Croatia.
Having crossed the border without too much hassle, we drove onwards. What struck me, and it always does when crossing into Croatia, are the border villages you drive through that have just been left in ruins and uninhabited. These remnants from 30 years ago, where ethnic groups were forced out, still stand as stark reminders of a painful past. It's a sad part of the journey, but it also puts things into perspective for me. Once in Croatia, the drive takes on a different tone. The architecture, the layout of the villages, everything feels, well, at least to me, distinctly different from Bosnia and Herzegovina. As we headed towards the coast, the landscape became more mountainous, and then we reached the mighty Velebit mountain. It's quite a climb, even in a car, to get over the Velebit. Tamara started sharing some stories from her childhood, memories of being a competitive swimmer, travelling to Croatia with her team from Banja Luka and stopping at a beautiful hotel restaurant that's now just a dilapidated wreck. These stories are what makes travelling with someone who's lived in the former Yugoslavia so interesting. You get to hear personal history woven into the landscape. As we climbed the Velebit and reached the peak, we were anticipating the moment when we'd pass through the tunnel and come out on the other side to see the Adriatic Sea. And let me tell you, that view never, ever disappoints. We stopped to take in the sights, with the wind blowing and the islands below scattered across the Adriatic, like little rocky gems.
8:20, and we've just stopped. We've driven all the way from the border with Bosnia-Herzegovina and Croatia, and through some really open countryside, forests, signs actually that say there are bears. We've seen a whole herd of wild horses. And now we've ended up, you must probably can hear the wind because we're on the top of the Velebit mountain. And we've just come under this tunnel. And the tunnel is very special because as soon as you come out the other side, you get to see the sea. So we're stood here. There's a couple of other cars parked as well. And we can see the island of Pag and the Adriatic Sea. And it looks amazing. Now, I have to tell you that the first thing you see are these islands. They look like lunar landscapes, just like bare rock. And when I first found out about these islands and I used to drive up and down the coast, I thought, why would anybody want to go there? Because the secret is, when you cross onto the islands, as soon as you go onto the sea side of those islands, they're beautifully lush and everything. So we've got about another 40 minutes and we'll be on the ferry. I can't wait.
After taking in the view, we descended and joined the winding coast road to reach the ferry at Stinitsa. The ferry to Rab was waiting. The cost of a one-way ticket was 26 euros. That really was a shock for us. But as they say so very often in the Western Balkans, it is what it is. Within minutes, the ferry was underway for the short 15-minute or so journey over to the island. The ferry carries everything, cars, buses, lorries, even the essential supplies for the island. It's a busy, but very smooth operation. As we drove off the ferry onto Rab, I put the window down. I always do. The smell of figs and the vegetation is intoxicating.
Can you smell those figs?
It's not only figs, it's all the plants. I can smell it.
The window is open in the car now, so we've got off the ferry. It only took 8 minutes. And as I said, when you look at the islands first off, you think, well, that's like a Martian landscape, and it still is. All this
the other side.
Cast stone and like very low dried grass, but we're going up now. But you can smell already the figs, and it's just like, it's so aromatic, and it's one of the first things that you'll get. So when you arrive in Rab, or most of the Adriatic Islands, windows down, deep breath, send me an email if I've got it wrong.
We made our way along the windy, windy road to Barbat, a little village where our accommodation was. We stayed in a lovely small apartment owned by one of Tamara's extended family members. After that journey, it was so nice to arrive, even though we were a bit early. But in true Balkan hospitality, they had everything waiting for us. The next few days were blissfully relaxing. Tamara and I planned a small morning routine. Each morning, I'd get up and walk to the local shop about 500 metres away to buy krofna, Croatian donuts. Croatia is famous for them, and that became our little morning ritual. Sadly, it was only on the first morning I managed to buy those krofna. For whatever reason, that shop only seemed to sell croissants for the rest of our visit.
They didn't have any krofna, or if not, they haven't arrived yet. But we got croissant, so I hope Tamara's going to be happy with that. Walking uphill, that's why I'm slightly breathless, but then I am 71, right? And today we're going back to one of the beaches that we've already been to, have some fun, which means for me just to be idle, soak up the vibes, relax, let my brain close down. And we might be meeting some of Tamara's distant relatives.
But even so, the croissants were super fresh. So Tamara would prepare the coffee, well, tea for me, and we'd sit, looking out of the window, discussing the day's plans, while enjoying the cool morning air. It was perfect, because the temperatures during the day would reach around 35 to 36 degrees, and that is a bit too much heat for me.
An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with David Bailey.
Good morning from the centre of Rab, the town of Rab. I've just spent a good couple of hours with Tamara talking to some distant relatives, only to find out a guy within the family who is the same age as me did the same thing as I did when I was, I don't know, 14, 15, 16, which was to run a pirate radio station. I was doing mine in London and he was doing his in Sisak in Croatia all those years ago. How random can that be? Of all the places, how many people set up pirate radio stations when they're young? Not a lot, but I did in England with friends. And he was doing the same in Sisak in Croatia, former Yugoslavia, right? But he used to listen in the evenings to Radio Luxembourg, just like I did.
Broadcasting on 208 meters in the medium wave, 1440 kilohertz AM, with a power of 1.3 million watts. This is the English service of Radio Luxembourg.
During our 10 days on the island, we visited the town of Rab a few times. Now, Rab is a gem of history and charm, with its distinctive medieval architecture, ancient city walls, and iconic four bell towers rising above the Adriatic. Rab is a blend of timeless beauty and vibrant coastal life. We strolled through its narrow stone streets, looking at Romanesque churches and watching mainly tourists relaxing in the quaint squares.
Bazen, da, to je bilo. A moramo podnoći. O čemu nam pričati? Ja sad idem doma biciklom, vjerojatno će biti sa ova tri grla,
On one occasion, I flew my drone over the town, capturing some stunning footage of the Adriatic coastline and the town itself. That video, by the way, you can watch on my YouTube channel. Tamara also took me to the house where she used to spend her summers, and we went to the cemetery to pay our respects to her family. It was a special moment, hearing her stories about those childhood summers and even how she used to sell painted shells and stones to tourists. Tamara and her friends used to go diving, collect them, paint them, and then sell them to tourists. A little entrepreneur, even back then.
There's a coffee bar called Bisa in Rab. Tell me about your experiences outside Bisa as a young girl.
As a young girl, first of all, Bisa had the best donuts on the island ever. My mother used to wake up early to buy us fresh donuts, and we used to eat it with lots of sugar and jam and fresh. Sometimes they were even warm. But in front of the Bisa, a little bit further down, we used to sell shells, seashells. We used to go one day and snork and take them out of and take them out of the water, and then we used to make creations and then sell them here.
When we came past the other day,
make some extra cash for Sladoled.
I know, for ice cream. When we were here the other day and we're walking past, you gave me an anecdote about a miserable old lady.
Yes, there was one very old lady, and she was selling the same shells and then chains made from the shells. And she was so jealous of us because everyone was buying from us because we were such a cute little
kids. How old were you?
I don't remember. Fifth, sixth grade, fourth grade, before. Something like that.
I don't know. About 9 or 10?
Maybe 11. 11, 12, I think I would say, yeah.
Come on, what was the most money you made in a day? Can you remember?
I don't remember. That was a long time ago. But we used to make a lot. We used to go have ice cream right away.
I've noticed that there are no kids here doing it these days.
No. Oh, yes, there was one. The other day, there was one. I've seen it. One kid.
Did it make you feel immediately nostalgic?
Yes, it did. But that was a different time back then. Everything was much nicer and different than now, definitely.
Most of our days, though, were spent at Sua Punta, a beautiful beach near an old hotel that has since been amazingly renovated into a modern luxury spot. Tamara, being the swimmer she is, spent hours in the water, while I found shelter under the trees to avoid too much sun. The beach was peaceful and the water crystal clear, and it really did feel so restful. During our time on the island, we caught up with some more of Tamara's family. They normally live in Sisak, in Croatia. Not far, actually, about an hour and a half from where we live, but who spend part of the year on Rab. It was lovely to share an evening meze with them, drinking Loza, a local grape brandy, which, by the way, is one of my favourites. Might even, on occasions, beat rakia.
Tamara, tell me what these are.
Shulchichi.
Kako?
Shulchichi.
And these are the local equivalent here to ushtipsi, yeah? It's from the ushtipsi family, which are like deep-fried
Balls.
Yeah.
I'm going to try one in a minute. But look at this wonderful food. Absolutely gorgeous. Huh? Mm-hmm. Aren't we the luckiest? But I'm definitely going to try one of these. No worries. And this is the view. What a sunset. And grapes. Black and white. And we've just had Loza, which was absolutely amazing.
An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with David Bailey.
I'm sat on the edge. It's not, there's a beach, yes, a small beach, sandy beach as well, or pebbly, but a nice walkway that goes all the way from Rab Town out to Barbat, and we're on the border of the villages of Barbat and Banyol. So today I'm sat in Banyol. The sea is amazing, clear. I'm just looking, I don't know, just a few metres ahead of you, and it's just like really clear, and the more you look out, it goes from turquoise to dark blue, and it's about, I don't know, directly less than 100 metres from the house where we are to the sea, but we have to go through a convoluted path to get it. Anyway, yesterday we got up bright and early and we went into Rab Town, had a quick look around there, took some photographs, went and visited the house that Tamara's family used to have years and years and years ago. Did a quick visit to the grave of the family, a few respects, and then had krofna, that quintessential Croatian donut, and some coffee, and then moved on to a place called, and my pronunciation might be bad here, but Suha Punta, where Tamara used to go and swim, one of the many places she used to go to swim when she was a lot younger. And there, although it's not a sandy beach, I was very, very impressed by the way that a large resort company has set up in what was a space owned by the former state of Yugoslavia and was left unoccupied for decades, actually. But has now bought it and turned it into a really nice resort. But the thing that I liked in particular was the way that they've got this location set up for their high-paying guests, but at the same time they offer all the facilities to transitional tourists and local people as well. So yesterday we were able to take advantage of really, really comfy lounges, which the guests, I think, get at a massive discount. But for us, as transitional tourists, as I call ourselves, it wasn't too expensive. They had gazebos, the beachside restaurants were open, and not tremendously expensive either. And their sign that they put up by the side of the beach on the road, saying what their views were to sustainable tourism, I thought was very welcome. In fact, it's the only place that I've been in the Balkans so far where large companies have put their mission statement for passers-by and the general public to see. And it was, I felt very happy seeing that. But this is a place to come. Rab is not under tourists, if I can use that new phrase. Rab still is full of Germans, Austrians, some Slovakians, I've seen a few Czechs. Not many Poles this time around. And English Americans, well, they're definitely, from what I've seen anyway, in the minority. And I think now, for those that are looking for the cheaper Adriatic holidays, have definitely gone to Montenegro, which, being a small country, does have also an Adriatic coastline that they're making a lot of money out of, and also selling their assets to larger companies. There's one in Kotor, the Bay of Kotor, which is a rip-off. But if you want a really, really, really cheap Adriatic come Mediterranean holiday, the Albanian coast is that's a new place to go. But although I do have a vested interest in coming here, because my wife's family on one side hails from here, it was the first real place I came on holiday in this region with Tamara many, many decades ago, and I fell in love with it. And a bit like me living in Bosnia, you know, if you fall in love with something, you don't want to let it go, right? And so, yeah, I'm having a blast. The only thing is I'm in the shade and I know that the sun is going to move round and fry me up unless I do something to avoid that. Blue eyes, fair hair, light skin, you know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to look like Billy Lobster when I get back to Bosnia.
The slower pace of life on Rab was truly refreshing for us, even more laid back than our life in our village in Bosnia. All in all, the 10 days flew by. There were a few downsides, however, and I have to say that. First, the heat, which got up to 40 degrees at one point, really affected me. The cost of food? Well, it's expensive. Bosnia is way, way cheaper. And of course, I wasn't feeling 100% all of the time. But those small hiccups didn't take away from the beauty and tranquility of the island of Rab. Our trip back home was tinged with some sadness leaving Rab, but also of anticipation to get back to our village, catch up and gossip about our break with family, and say hi to our 2 dogs and 7 cats. We're already thinking about where to go next summer. Maybe return to Montenegro again? Or should Rab become our regular treat? Maybe we should look at northern Germany. Or maybe visit my sister, who lives in Haarlem, just outside Amsterdam. Who knows? But that's a discussion for another time. So that's part 2 of my Rab travel diary. I hope you've enjoyed coming along for the ride. If you have any questions, feel free to send them my way. You can find me on my blog, and that's anenglishmaninthebalkans, all one word, .com, as well as Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you can, leave a review. It really does mean a lot. Until next time then, thanks for listening, and I'll see you again in the next episode.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovich Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.